20. Glad everybody's here in the house of the Lord. Amen. When the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to thee, saying, art thou he that should come, or should we look for another? Should we look for another? God bless you. You can be seated in Jesus' name. We understand that John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah that was to come. The Christ who we know as Jesus today. Jesus was the one who Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And here at our reading in verse number 20, we find Jesus or John imprisoned and about to be beheaded. He's in a bad situation. Multiple scriptures have prophesied about John that he would be the one who would open the door to the world to introduce who Jesus is, that he would be the introduction to the Messiah. However, in this place of prison, in this imprisonment, in this impossible situation, it was probably the single most depressing and despairing point of John's entire life. He sends out a couple of his followers to go ask Jesus this question. This question. Are you the one, or should we look for another? Here John has spent his entire life, his entire ministry, telling everybody that he could to repent of their sins. That there was one that was coming, that his shoes, that he was not worthy to latch it, and all of these things, and prophesying about the Messiah. And he was even the one that said, behold, the Lamb of God, after his baptism.
Right.
He was the one that was proclaiming this way, but yet he sits in prison in the most despairing point of his life, and he starts to wonder. Here at the end of his life, in these prison walls, he has this nagging question. Is he the one, or should we look for another? No doubt he probably even went through his mind and said, was this really worth it? Here I am fixing to get my head cut off. And was it all worth it? Was this really worth it dying for? Or was it all for naught? All the preaching, all the witnessing, all of the sleepless nights, and all the stirring in my soul. Was it worth it? Is this really the one? My life spent in service for God, has it been worth it? And so, can I put it to us like this, that John actually was asking the question, is Jesus better? Is Jesus better? And that is probably one of the single most question that maybe some of us would be facing in a moment of despair, in a moment of trial. Is Jesus better? Is this real? And we have a lot of people in this world today that are asking that very question because they hear a lot about Jesus from different religions, from different faiths, from different people that have not delivered. Is he better than John's baptism? Is he better than all the other little g gods that are good, that have been sent out to change the world? Is he better than any of the angels? Is he better than anything that we've ever seen? He said, I want you guys to go find out if he is better. if he's the one we should be looking for, or should we be looking for another one? You see, this is where so many of us and the world are at this morning. Their lives need to be changed. They need to be delivered. I can guarantee you tonight or this morning that there are many of us that sit here that we know in our heart of hearts we are not what we want to be. And we need a change. There are some that are here today that you've struggled time and time and time and time again, and you've wondered, how can this be real when I keep on struggling? Is Jesus really better? Is being a Christian really better than what I've been living or what I used to live? You see, there's people here that need to be delivered. There's relationships in this house this morning that need to be mended. Oh, you may be putting on the show, but God knows what's going on in behind closed doors at the house. There's some that are married in word, but not in deed. They're really just cohabitating. And those type of relationships need to be mended. Families that need to be healed. Sisters and brothers that are separated. Mothers and daughters. Fathers and sons. All kinds of things that need mending.
Right.
Is Jesus really better? Souls need to be saved. They are looking to find out what we have. Is it real or not? I'm going to preach this here today from a soul winning aspect, but also from a personal aspect. So it's going to go back and forth. So you'll just have to bear with me and delineate between the two. But there are times that people come into this house and they want to say, is this real or not? Because this guy, there's a lot of things about him that are intriguing. And I see him the way he acts on the job. But I really want to know, is it real or not?
All right.
Yeah.
I see this woman on the job and I want to know if it's really real or not. Is she for real or not?
Right.
And they may not be coming to church. They may not come to church right now. But they've got that question in their mind. Is that person real or not? Or should I be looking somewhere else? Should I be looking over at this other religion? Or should I be looking over at this other church? Or should I be looking over at some other group? Or do they really have it? They want to know if this Jesus that we talk about is the one that can put their family back together. They want to know if this, if the one that we talk about so much is really able to deliver them of their habits and their addictions that are destroying their lives and destroying their family. They want to know, is that real or not?
Right.
They want to know if what we say we have is real. It's important that our witness to the world doesn't look like the rest of the world's witness.
Right.
We need, or they need rather, to see and feel something different. They need to see and feel something unlike they have ever seen or felt before.
Right.
Right. Right.
Amen.
My struggle is sometimes they do feel it, but it's not enough to change it.
Right.
Sometimes it's not enough to change them. And I ask the question, why? Is it me? Is it us? Did they really see something that they wanted to see? Or did they see something that they wanted to see and then they saw something that they didn't want to see?
Uh-huh.
Did they really feel what they wanted to feel and then they felt something that they didn't want to feel?
Uh-huh. That's right.
You getting my drift there?
Yes, sir.
They came in and they saw it and they go, wow, this is different. This is good. It feels pure. It feels this. It feels that. I can see this. And then they get around somebody and they go, whoa. They see and they feel something that they've seen and felt already out in the world.
Yeah, right.
And that they felt from another religion.
Right.
And they felt from another faith. And they go, is this real or not? Is this Jesus better or not? In that same chapter, verse 20, Luke chapter 7, it goes on to say, when the men were come unto him, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto thee, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues and evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. It's interesting to see here in the scripture that when these men showed up wanting to know if Jesus was the real deal or not, he was busy delivering, he was busy healing, he was busy setting people free, he was busy delivering people from stuff that was destroying their lives.
Amen.
He was doing what the word said he would do. I wonder sometimes what people are looking for, if they're finding the real deal at Souls Harbor. Yeah, that's for us personally. Are they finding the real deal? Are they really finding somebody? Are they really are they really finding a place that Jesus is better? Are they really finding a place that Jesus is better? Or are they still finding the same carnality as they do everywhere else? I read a secular deal here just recently on 21 things that Christians still do, even though the Word emphatically preaches against it. And it caught my attention. Anybody else read the article?
No.
Nobody? There must be some weird places that I go, man. I read this article and it leapt out to me of some of the things that from a secular point of view that it started to say. Several of those things, one of them that I mean, there's a bunch of them. They talked about the food, all of the food it talked about. One said that even though the word emphatically says, and they pointed out the scriptures, that women ought to dress modestly. He said, there's Christians in this world that don't dress no more modest than a man on the moon.
Right.
That's right.
They're showing their cleavage. Right. Women, and it talks about women. And he even said in the article, he said, this word shamefacedly means no makeup. He said, it's in the Bible, and Christians still do it.
Right.
21 things that Christians, this is a secular deal, 21 things Christians have in their Bible that they do not adhere to. He said it's emphatic in the Word not to carve and engrave symbols of death. And he said in the article it says, it talks about it being tattoos, and it is. Right. It's about tattoos, emblems and symbols and so on and so forth. The Bible gives us indication of that. Not to have piercings. The Bible, and he said, but yet... we have Christians all over the place that are continually getting tattoos, engravings of death. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, and he just goes right down the line on several things. And it stirred me to think that here's a man that is a secular writer, and he's pulling things out of the Bible that mainstream Christians do that are totally against the Word of God. And I thought, God, I pray that we're not doing the things that are totally against the Word, totally against your Word, and people see that kind of stuff and they go, it's no different than that.
Right.
That's no different than this. What's the big deal? I wonder if people are finding a place when they come to Souls Harbor that says, I'm feeling my life being set free from sin, from shame, from guilt. I'm feeling the real love of God. I'm feeling real mercy. But I'm also feeling a check not to go and not to do. I'm feeling a good, healthy balance in my life.
Yes. Amen.
According to the Word. Do people struggle to get along? Do they feel that when they come to the house of God? Is Jesus really better here than he is over at wherever? And I'm not even going to dare name a place because that's not fair. Because unfortunately, and I don't want to be the judge of this, but yet at the same time, I'm going to judge a few matters, so I'm going to try to judge it righteously. But I sure would pray that the churches in general do not get along better than we in the household of faith. That they don't love one another. And it's incredible because I've seen some of their actions. And some of their actions, actually, they do love them and each other more than we love each other. Like I've preached here before. For some reason, we want to bite and devour one another when one falls. We want to turn into a cannibal and devour them for their sin. But boy, it ain't like that the other way. But I'm not preaching about a sloppy agape type of love either. I'm talking about Jesus' love.
Yeah. Right.
I'm talking about a love that's still, hey, there's still consequences here for the sin, and we're not just going to overlook it, but at the same time, we're going to love you, we're going to have mercy on you, we're going to restore you with a spirit of meekness, because we're considering ourselves just what we're going to be tempted to, and I don't want to be tempted to fail in that place either. So I want to have an extreme amount of mercy and consideration in your situation, because I don't really want to go through that. I don't really want to fail, but I want you to succeed. I don't want to fail, but I want you to succeed. I said, I don't want to fail, but I want you to succeed. So I'm going to consider myself. Is Jesus really better at Souls Harbor than anywhere else? Do they find people too concerned about their own lives but not willing to help out the church and help out each other? This is an important question to us, to ourselves. What are the imprisoned going to find when they come here? Will they find more imprisonment? Will they find more of what they already have? Because if we have, because what we have, if it's not better than what they already have, they're not going to stick around too long.
Right.
They got to know this. It. Is anybody getting the picture?
Yes,
is this better?
Yeah.
Is this better? Is Jesus better here than he is anywhere else?
Yeah.
That's the question. Is Jesus better here than he is anywhere else? Those folks need Jesus. They need his amazing, overwhelming love and mercy. They need something that can get their lives put back together. I heard something today or yesterday, I can't remember when it was. But words of affirmation mean more than criticism.
Amen.
You can build somebody even though they have fallen by affirming them rather than criticizing them. Now I got to tell you, I can't say that I've been the epitome of that simple thought, but I'm working on it. I can promise you that.
Yeah,
I'm putting it into practice. I want that to, you know what? I want to be what God wants, and when I think about that, that's a biblical concept. God was always affirming.
Right,
but I prayed for you.
Right.
You're going to deny me, but I'm praying for you. Everything's going to be all right because I'm still on your side. And even when the cock crowed and he looked and he connected with Jesus, there wasn't anger in Jesus' eyes. There was pity. And there was a message that was being sent. I told you, I'm praying for you. I still love you. When you're converted, he already said it.
Yeah,
that was an affirmation. When you're converted,
yeah.
Huh? When you get it all together there.
That's good,
Peter. When you get all your stuff shaken down, you get it all figured out. Strengthen the brethren.
Yeah.
He already affirmed that he was going to do God's work. He was telling them that it's going to be okay. You're going to blow it. You're going to mess up. But it's all right. This is part of the process. It's going to be okay. When you get it all together, you're just going to strengthen the brethren. You're going to be strong and you're going to encourage somebody else. Why? Because you realize that when you fail, I was there to pick you up. And when others fail, you're going to be there to pick them up. And that's the way I want it done. But are we really a church where Jesus is better?
Yeah. Tell him, Pastor. Preach it.
Verse 22 said, Jesus answering them said, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard. How that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf ear hear, the dead are raised, and the poor, and to the poor the gospel is preached. See, Jesus' ministry was something that the world had never experienced before. Amen. Of all the promised to false Christs, of all the messiahs, of all the religions, of promised this and promised that, that never could deliver, Jesus was doing all that the Word had promised and declared, and He never declared anything of Himself.
Right.
He never declared anything of Himself. In other words, He wasn't a talker. He was a doer.
Right.
He never had to say, I'm a Christian.
Right.
He never had to say, I'm the Messiah. He just went around healing the lame.
Right.
He went around everywhere doing good. He went around delivering. He went around saving. He went around encouraging. He went around building up.
Yeah.
And so, He didn't have to talk about who He was. He just did it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
He just acted on who He was. What about us?
Yeah.
What? Let me get more personal. What about you? What about me? Am I just able to act? Forget the talk. Forget the talk. Am I living? Am I acting? Am I doing all the things that I should be doing? Is Jesus really better in my life? Am I real or not? He came doing the miraculous, and He did it. He came doing something that nobody else could do. He came making a difference in a way that nobody had ever even dreamed about. They never dreamed. You got to understand this. They never dreamed that lepers could be healed. Because not one had ever been healed throughout the entire Old Testament until Jesus showed up on the scene. You talk about a miracle. And what did Jesus say? Go show yourself to the priest. When they showed themselves to the priest, the priest freaked out. He said, what do we do? What do we do with a guy like this? He's had leprosy all his life, and now he doesn't have leprosy. We don't know what to do with him. They had to go back to the law. They had to go back to the books and look it up because nobody had ever been cleansed from leprosy until Jesus showed up. And with all the programs and all of this and the AA and the NA and the all the blah, blah, blah. All these things that promise deliverance and they still don't deliver.
Yeah.
What about Souls Harbor? Is it delivering what is supposed to be delivering? When we say, hey, you could be delivered of that, are we delivering?
Yeah.
Is Jesus really better at Souls Harbor than He is at NA, at AA? At any other program, at any other thing that they have going on. Do you understand what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
Are there any world changers? Are there any way makers here at Souls Harbor that have said, we're going to turn our world upside down. We're going to turn your life individually upside down. You won't even be recognized for who you once were when Jesus gets a hold of your life because Jesus is better than anything you've ever experienced in your life. They're going to find people who are what they say they are. Well, they're going to find them living a double standard, a double life. Will they find that individual? I know I'm preaching to some folks here right now because you are right there. You're at that place, and you ain't what you're living inside ain't what you're living outside. And you got to make that change because there's some people that want real deliverance. There's some people that want a real Jesus that can heal them. They're tired of all the fake Jesuses that everybody's coming up with. They want something real. And you're the only Jesus they're ever going to see. And if Jesus is not better in you, and they don't want it. If it's not better than what they already have, what's the use? Verse 23 said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You see, John the Baptist's ministry was a ministry of repentance. But Jesus told them in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And we see that happening in people's lives all the time. But do we have the Jesus that said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundant? Oh, you're living, but you ain't got living until you start living for Jesus. Does anybody feel like that here today? I am living until I started living for him. Yeah, I had life, but I didn't have it like I have it now. Oh, that's what I was afraid of. Some of us have forgotten from whence we have come. Some of us forgotten where God took us from. Some of us have forgotten the sin and the shame and the guilt. Some of us have forgotten those things. And Jesus really isn't better. We've forgotten because you've lived for God for 20 years. You lived for God for 25 years. You lived for God for 30 years. And all of a sudden, I'm not quite as excited as I used to be. The further and further away that you've gotten away from Calvary, you just all of a sudden start to think you're something good. Some of the things that you do are not because you love God. It's because you've just gotten used to it. You've just gotten used to the way that you dress. You've just gotten used to doing this. But is anybody seeing in your life and saying, I see Jesus in you? Right. Or they just say, I see you dressed different.
Oh. Come on, Pastor.
I see Jesus in you. I notice you dressed different. There's a problem here. I notice that you don't go to the bars. They didn't say, I see Jesus in you. I notice that you don't go to the bar. Right. Yeah, well, big deal. There's a bunch of you that don't go to the bar.
That's right.
But when they say, I see something different in you, are you a Christian? They start talking about what is that is something more significant than just where I don't go or where I do go or how I dress or just how. Because there's a lot of good people in this room that don't do crazy stuff. But that doesn't mean they're saved. That doesn't mean they have Jesus. There's some good moral principled people in this life. But that doesn't mean that they've got Jesus. Jesus told them that he was there not only to fulfill the prophecies and the preaching of John the Baptist, but he said, I've come to give you life and life more abundant. He said, I'm going to heal your body. I'm going to deliver your soul. I'm going to do all these things. You've got to repent of your sins. We're going to get all that together, but I'm going to give you more life even after that. After all that stuff is cleaned up and your life is healed, your life is delivered, you're all put back together, I'm going to give you something even on top of that that will blow your mind. You know why? Because Jesus is better.
Yes, right.
Amen. See, the world promises all kinds of pleasures. Even Paul made that statement in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He was referring to Moses and the decision that he made to walk with the people of God than to enjoy all the grapes and the pomegranates and the dates and have all the servants waving palm fronds over him because he was raised up in the house of Pharaoh. He could have had all that. He could have had the best education. He could have had the best jobs. He was the next in line really to be under Pharaoh. He could have had the good job, the good education, all the good stuff.
Right.
Sometimes we equate all that to sin. When it says the sin, the pleasure of sin for a season. But that's what he was talking about. He wasn't necessarily, and we can do it both ways. We can talk about sex and drugs and alcohol and blah, 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 blah. But really, when we really get down to the nitty gritty of it, he was saying, I'm choosing to stay out there in a tent with the children of Israel than to live in the palace of Pharaoh and drive the fanciest chariot and have all the servants and have all the money. Come on now.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, I ain't never heard like that. Yeah, because those are real things that we struggle with.
Right.
Just because you ain't struggling with drugs and alcohol and sex doesn't mean that you're not struggling with those things.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
So he said, I'd rather to choose the suffering of suffering the affliction of maybe not having everything in this life and living on easy street and having the big prestigious job and being successful and making all this and blah, 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 than to have all the pleasures of sin, because those things are really only fleeting for just a little while.
Right.
And again, you say, well, that kind of contradicts what you said, pray for somebody else a blessing. No. We can enjoy those things, but we're not going to be consumed by them. They're not going to control our life. I'm not going to be so bent on making so much money and hoarding it all. No, I want to make more money so I can give it to the kingdom of God, so I can be a blessing to somebody else, so I can be a blessing. Drive a nicer car while you're doing it, thank God.
Amen.
You get to live in a nicer house while you're doing it, thank God.
Amen.
There ain't nothing wrong with it.
That's right.
But you're not consumed by it.
Amen.
That's not your drive.
Right.
I wish all of y'all were millionaires. If y'all could be saved to be a millionaire.
Amen.
If you can't be saved to be a millionaire, I don't want you to be a millionaire.
That's right.
Some could be a millionaire and still be saved.
Right.
Some couldn't.
Right.
When they lived for God, they trusted all their silver and their gold.
Right.
I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And if he allows me to drive, and if he allows me to have, and if he allows me to thank God for all that, that's nice. But my trust is in you, Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm trusting in you, and everything that I have is from you. And you can take it away in a moment of time.
Right.
And I'd still be happy.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now, all Paul's life and ministry was not a time of suffering, but there were times that he did suffer in order to witness and in order to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so not all of this life that we live in living for God is negative. Sometimes people get that negative idea that it's all, we can't. Don't do. Wait a second. Let's start talking about what we can do. Let's start really talking about how happy we are that we don't have our head stuffed in the toilet from a drunken stupor because we don't remember what we did last night. And we find out, whoa, wait a second. I didn't know I did that. Somebody else tells the wife because you stopped by the bar and drank your silly brains out and you was touching another woman that wasn't your wife. And Joe, that was supposed to be your friend, told your wife, hey, he was over there. Oh, sorry, Joe. You went to the bar either. But I just said Joe, okay? Sam. No, I can't say Sam either. No, I'm not saying that. I'll forget it. I won't name anybody. So that dude over there, he's your friend. And he says something like that, and then all of a sudden, now your family's even a bigger mess. You didn't only go to the bar and drink and touch that woman that wasn't your wife, but now you got marital problems on top of marital problems, and the kids are hearing you fuss and fight all the time and act like idiots,
right.
And they just want to leave.
Right.
And so it keeps on compounding the problem. And what am I saying here? I want to know, is Jesus better than anything else that you've ever experienced in your life?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt, there are some things that in this flesh, some things in this flesh, they bring pleasure. There's
yes.
no doubt.
Yes.
But they don't last very long, the scripture said. They're fleeting.
That's right.
Feels good for a little while, and the pain comes. The hurt comes. The destroyed relation comes. The destroyed family comes. The withdrawals come. The destroyed witness comes. I'm going to say something here. The problem isn't always the problem. Oxymoron, but nevertheless true when you think of it. The problem isn't always the problem. It's very possible that when you are struggling with what goes on or what you're doing, what you're struggling with, that there's a reason that's much deeper than what you're struggling with. The healing you need isn't the healing you think that you need. Some people are struggling with addictions and anger issues and emotional and spiritual pain, but they don't even realize that many times that it's not the addiction that's the source of their problem. It's not the destructive behavior that's the source of the problem. It's oftentimes it may be a childhood wound that they still just can't heal from. Disappointments of life that they just haven't been able to overcome. So they resort to these things to cover the pain.
Yes.
There are oftentimes people that make mistakes and sin and they can never get, they never feel forgiven. And so they resort to different things to cover the pain. When that, those things are not necessarily the problem.
Right.
The drugs are not always the problem. The alcohol is not always the problem. We create our own gods. We create our own little religion when we start to cover up our problems with money and drugs and sex and alcohol.
Yes.
Food.
Some people have food as their god.
Say, ooh. Yeah. You don't hear too much on gluttony preaching anymore.
No.
But it's in the Bible.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Do you know that was one of the other 21 things? The secular guy was talking about. He said, it says right in the word, right there in the word, not to be a glutton. He said, there's some of the most obese people on the planet.
Sure.
I understand there's some people that have a thyroid issue and they can't lose weight and save their soul. I understand that. But some people have couch problems. They can't get off the couch and do nothing to save their soul.
That's right.
Some people just have this constant, I can't. I can't. I can't. Some people have a problem with success. Some people have problems with popularity. Other types of worldliness. Many of these things are not the real problem, though. Fact is, they've just become a crutch to us. They've just covered. A lot of people have to. Dave Ramsey said the other day, he said, a guy calls in and he says, yeah, he said, I'm a workaholic. And he said, I'm trying to get out of debt. I'm a workaholic. Good. And Dave Ramsey says, oh, stop. He said, do you know what the definition of workaholic is? He said, yeah, somebody that works too much. He said, no. Somebody that gets their self-esteem from work. And if you are getting your self-esteem from working, you need a psychiatrist.
Whoa.
Uh-oh. Lord, so I told my wife that. I said, I think I'm a workaholic. She said, you can come in and sit on my couch.
Amen.
You can pay me $200 an hour. face it, we all have those little things that we really don't want nobody to know, and we cover it up with all kinds of stuff. And we act like we got it all together, and we're all this and that and whatever, whatever. But really deep down inside, we're all just hurting.
Amen.
We're all suffering from some type of self-esteem issue, and that's why some people say things that are hurtful and degrade other people, because they got to feel some type of self-esteem. It all kinds of things. It's usually all has to do, but we don't want to admit that.
Right.
We don't want to admit that so that Jesus can heal that spot in our life. So that we can just really be who we are without having to fake every day.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I guess preaching on that. That ain't gonna go very far.
It's good.
But it's the truth.
Yeah.
Some of us could just be who we are and love Jesus and let Jesus take care of the inadequacies instead of us trying to fulfill all those things in our life to make everybody think that we are somebody who we really aren't.
Yes.
It's funny to see people that want to think, that make everybody think that you're so smart and yet you can't spell.
Right.
Yeah, you read something they wrote and you go, they don't know how to spell, but they're trying to sound smart in that article, and that don't sound smart at all. They're dumb. The reason why is because they're trying so hard to be somebody that they're not.
Yeah,
right. That's good.
And they can't just go, you know what? I can't. I'm inadequate here. I need some help. That's really the problem. Is we can't ask for help. No, not ask for help. No, I'm going to do this myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to prove to everybody I can do it.
Right.
You go ahead and prove to everybody you're stupid. You say, man, Pastor, that's pretty mean. No, the problem is you're not leaning on who you need to lean on, and you're trying to do it on yourself.
Right.
And these are the types of things that God wants to heal in us.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
And deliver us from. So we don't have to feel this inadequacy all the time and try to impress anybody.
No. Yes.
But what's that saying? That we're always trying to impress people that don't like us?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, I was trying to impress somebody that don't like us anyways. Why are you trying to do that? What a waste of time.
Amen.
People don't like you anyways.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to impress them?
Amen.
I just want to be delivered and be who I am.
That's right.
I want to let God just work through me and just let God be whatever He wants to do. He can cover up my messes and He can fix my inadequacies and my faults and my little insecurities and my nothing in life. I want God to take all care of all that and good. There ain't nothing good to me anyways. I need Jesus. From this aspect, because I've been raised in church all my life. Since I was 6 years old, I don't really know anything different. God didn't deliver me from alcohol. God didn't deliver me from drugs. God didn't deliver me from all that kind of stuff.
All right, come on now. Thank you, Jesus.
But He kept me from it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That's pretty cool.
Jesus,
I'm pretty excited about that. That I can say I ain't never done any of those things.
Right.
Yep. But I've heard enough stories to make me not want any of.
Amen.
I've heard enough stories from some that they've done it all.
Yeah.
And I'm not interested.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Jesus is better.
Yes.
Question that people are trying to answer when they come here. Is the Jesus that is here, that they are worshiping and talking about, really real? Is He as real as they say? And I want to say, yes, He is.
Yes.
Yes. Amen.
For I have got life and more abundant.
Yes.
He has healed my body. He has saved me. He has delivered me. He's still continuing to change me. And He's doing it in such a merciful, loving, kind way. And I've been feeling like a failure and utter distress. Oh,
yes.
He picks me up.
Praise the Lord. Yes.
Are we living a life that is abundant? Or are we living a life that Peter described in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 22? I'm going to start taking this 747 down. you've got to come down out of that 30,000 elevation. But it takes a long time to get a that big plane.
There's
no F-18 that can do a nosedive and hit the deck of a ship, okay? Yeah. Can't do that.
Amen.
Nice and slow.
Take your time, Pastor.
Thank you. I will. But if it... 2 Peter 2:22 said, but if it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit. Again. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Ain't nothing I want to go back to.
That's right.
Where I am today, I'm much better off in Jesus where I am today than any single place in my past. Now, if you don't feel that way, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And you're going to get an opportunity here in a minute to repent over that and let God bring that fulfillment back to your life. But Jesus is better today than he's ever been at any one single point of my life.
Praise the Lord.
He's brought more fulfillment. He's brought more contentment. He's brought more joy than any single place in my entire life. And I've had a lot of good things that God's done for me in the past. But today, he is better today than he's ever been before. Am I living it that way? Am I acting that way? That's the question. Is everybody seeing Jesus in me? Or do they see two lives? Are they saying, is he real or not? I'm going to choose that abundant life because where I came from made me spiritually sick. Where I came from was destroying my soul. Where I came from left me feeling dirty. Left me feeling hopeless. Where I came from, I don't want to go back. I said, I don't want to go back to any one point in my life.
Amen.
Not one point do I want to go back. I'm looking for Jesus that is better than all the stuff of this life. I'm looking for the blessing of the life that he said I could live more abundantly. When he talks about abundance or abundantly, it's something that is continuing. In other words, today is not the best that it's going to get. He still's got something more for me for tomorrow and for next week and for next month and for eternity. He's talking about an abundant life. I don't have to live lower than what he's promised me.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
I choose to live by those commandments.
Amen.
I'm making a choice to live sin-free.
That's right.
I'm making a choice to depend on his grace and his mercy. I'm making a choice to yield myself to him. Let's get a hold of something better than the stuff that this world has to offer. Jesus promised us what he had was better. The spirit that he would give somebody would be better than any spirit that this world had to offer.
Yes.
Amen.
The promise of eternal life he would give them would be better than anything this world had to offer. John sits in that prison cell, having spent his life preaching and preparing the way for Jesus Christ. And he's waiting on an answer. Is Jesus better? Is this who I'm looking for? Is this really it? And when his disciples returned, Luke 7:22, Jesus answering said, go your way, tell John what things ye have heard, which things ye have seen and heard, how the blind see, the lame walk, the leper cleanse, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and to the poor the gospel is preached. And then verse 23, he said, And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. They tell John, hey, John, don't worry about it. Remember, John, remember there in Isaiah 29 and 18, 19, and Isaiah 35, 5 and 6, and 42 and verse 18, and Isaiah 61 and 1, that all talk about, and 61 and 1, let me just read it to you. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel of good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim the liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. He said, remember all these scriptures? They said, remember all that stuff that Jesus said, that all that prophecy in Isaiah was all about this, that was about Jesus.
Amen.
All that stuff was about healing and saving and delivering and eyes open and deaf ears open and blah, blah, blah. All that was about Jesus. And he's doing it. Jesus spoke that prophecy to John's disciples, except for one. Did you catch the one that he didn't get? The prophecy in Isaiah 61 and verse number 1 said, proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of doors or the prisons of them that are bound. I kind of think that one of the prophecies that John was hoping to hear his disciples come back and say, Jesus is on his way to open up the prison doors for them. But he didn't. Instead of him saying, Jesus is here to open up the prison doors for you, he said, blessed is he who's not offended. John, don't get offended in me. But you've done what you needed to do. You've done a good job, John. And everything is coming to pass. Everything's playing out. Everything's right in order. Don't get offended that you're in prison now. Don't get embittered because your life is about to end. You've done the will of God. You've done everything that you're supposed to do. And I'm better than anything else that this world has ever known. John, I am better. John, I'm better than anything that this world has ever had to offer. And so can I submit to you this morning that today Jesus is better. He's better than the lies that the devil has been telling you.
Amen.
Come on now. He's better than the sin that's been destroying your life, right, your family, and all the things around you. He's better. He's better than all of the pleasures of this life. He's better because he's opening up spiritual eyes and physical eyes. He's opening up spiritually deaf ears and not so spiritually deaf ears. He's cleansing every type of sin that equates to a leper. Things that they can't be cleansed, but Jesus can cleanse them. Things that, there's no hope for them. Oh, there's hope for this situation. When the doctor says, there ain't no hope, Jesus says, you just look to me because I am better. I am better. I am better than what the doctor says. I'm better than what the lawyer says. I'm better than what anybody else has to offer. You can look. I'm going to give you everything that is better.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes. Yes.
The devil tells us all kinds of stuff to satisfy us.
Yes.
Gives us all types of reasons to not look at Jesus. He tells us all this stuff is going to make us better. Well, if you had more money, it would make your life better. If you had this, it would make you better. If you did this, it would be better.
Yes.
And people buy into that lie all the time.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
They buy into the lie all the time because he uses the same terminology. This will make you feel better.
Yes.
For a season.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Just for a little while, but it won't satisfy for very long because only Jesus can satisfy your soul.
Amen.
Only Jesus can make you whole. Nobody has done anything for me better than what Jesus has. What the enemy of our soul pushes as satisfaction and gratification is only short-lived, often leaving us wounded and destroyed, and always wanting more. But the psalmist David said in Psalms 145:16, "Thou openest thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing." Tell me who can do that. Who can satisfy the desire of every living thing? Nobody but Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can satisfy our soul here today.
Amen.
He is why we need to seek after God, after Him, than seeking for all of the worldly things. The world has always left people hungry, wanting more, feeling lost. But Jesus, He puts those homes back together. Oh, He doesn't leave that body scarred and bound in drugs. No, He delivers it and puts a healing balm on it and soothes it. No, the scar doesn't go away, and there's always a remembrance there, but it don't hurt anymore. I don't feel pain anymore where I once felt pain. He doesn't leave you full of sin and perversion. No, He's better than that. I said Jesus is better than that. He don't leave you wanting. He don't leave you in distress. He can fulfill His promise to give you life and life more abundant. Will you stand? How many of us know today that Jesus is truly better?
Hallelujah.
Is there somebody here whose life has truly been changed for the better? Is there anyone who has been delivered by the power of His name and you are better today?
Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes.